Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1904, Joseph Maki.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment with an office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. A parcel containing 4.28 acres, more or less, lying west of Road 288, also known as Wilkins Road, 0.3 mile north of Road 280B, also known as Conley Chapel Road. For the benefit of the commission, I pass down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. The survey shows the existing improvements and driveways on the property. For the record, on May 31st of 2011, DelDOT responded with comments in the form of a memorandum. That memorandum references that a traffic impact study was not required and that the current level of service A of Road 288, also known as Wilking Road, will not change as a result of this application. On July 12th of 2011, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments in the form of a memorandum, and that memorandum references that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. That's all the comments I have to date, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. I apologize in advance. I'm sure. I butchered the daylights out of your last name. Would you mind sharing it with me?
I am Joe Mucci.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much. You heard what our chairman read into the record. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir, but bear with me. I don't hear very well.
Okay.
Nature of the business. No, I'm just parking, storage, and maintenance of my equipment, the same that's been going on here for 12 years. The site will not change. This is merely to conform. My only concern is the houses that are there are already there. They see the way I keep my place. I think it's as far as storage yards go, I don't think there's any that could compete with it in Sussex County. It's meticulous. It's well-maintained. The buildings are landscaped. The buildings are lighted. All buildings have lighting to point downwards, so when they are on, they do not disturb neighbors. There's no loud activity. There is no dumping of any kind of rubble on a property. It's a very private yard. It's gate secured. It has security. Basically, nothing is going to change as the way it's run today, as in the same as the last 12 years. It's merely because there's a development behind me. When phase three comes in, it would just make it easier for myself and the county if I did have a conditional use permit, that if somebody was to call and complain, they get with the county pulls it up. Yes, I'm within my rights to be doing what I'm doing there. And that's all I'm looking for.
All right, sir. Well, let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Sounds like another who came first type situation. Obviously, you've been there for a number of years. I've traveled that road many a time going to the radio station. I thought you were almost in compliance. Otherwise, I might have called the inspector.
You might have turned you in.
Nice guy.
That's right. I
might. Well, sir, they have over the years.
I better start carrying around a pad of paper and pencil while I'm traveling. Could you explain to me what kind of buffer you might have between your property and phase three of this subdivision?
There'll be Leyland's planted there in the fall.
I'm sorry.
Leyland cypress will be planted there in the fall, and it will be a fence on my property as the development progresses. They're only in phase one. They've got 13 homes up. Phase two is still a far distance away, and I'm anticipating phase three to be probably 8 to 10 years. By then, my Leyland's will be fully grown. Where you can pull into the development, as you look to your left and see my yard, I put up a 6-foot stockade fence there because that is already visible from phase one. As phase two and three come in, my Leylands will grow and I will fence it accordingly. I'm a very private person. Security is the utmost importance to me, and I will fence it in myself.
So is this operation for your own business and your own equipment, or are you proposing maintenance for other folks?
No, it's all my equipment this time. It's always been my equipment.
At this time? But is...
Well, I don't see myself turning any wrenches for anybody else but my own equipment, sir, if that's what you mean now.
So you have a construction company?
Excavating, yes, sir.
Excavating, okay.
I also build houses, but only for my own projects.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
There's a proposed fence that runs around this property, or no? There is a fence there that runs between the stormwater management pond and the development, or just down the...
Yes, sir. It goes in between my property and along the stormwater pond, and then it comes up and goes. In other words, if you're facing my property, the right side of my property is currently fenced in. Along the front, I have a 45-foot buffer of trees that totally block the visibility from the road, and the back is not an issue at this time, like I say, because phase three is not there.
No further questions on my part.
Okay.
Mr. Smith.
Just one, Mr. Markey, if this was acted favorably on, would you consider checking with the State of Delaware Forestry Department to see what suggestions they might have as far as a buffer as opposed to Leyland cypress?
Well, being in the business, I was a farmer for 30 years in the excavating business. Leylands are the best. They're easy to control. I prune them at the tops as a shrub, and they don't go crazy and split during a storm. It's the most bug-repellent, heat-resistant, natural buffer that I know of. And it would also be a 6-foot stockade fence on the inside as phase three would to come in. So I think I'd have it pretty well covered.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ross.
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Lank.
I'll back up just a second on the Leyland cypress. You're going to plant Leyland cypress and then place fencing on the inside?
Yeah, like as I'll run it in for security as people build behind me. Yeah.
Okay, on your side, the fence will be on your side of Leyland.
Yes, sir.
What Mr. Smith was referencing to was typically the state forester references the use of natural native species Delaware trees that are native to the area rather than Leyland, because you made reference to Leyland being the best to use, but Leylands have a habit of attracting certain types of bagworms that kill trees.
Yeah, and with all due respect, Lawrence, that's why I said I clip them low so I can reach them with a sprayer, and I control that. I've got Leylands that run down the left side of my property right now. They're all healthy. They're about 18, 20 feet tall. They were planted approximately 10, 11 years ago.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Counselor?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. One more, Mr. Chairman.
One more from Mr. Johnson.
Maybe one more. I noticed there's a personal residence on the property.
Yes, sir.
Is that going to remain?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
everything will stay as you see it.
Because it's all one parcel.
It's all one property.
Any intention of building any other buildings?
Not at this time.
Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you'd take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1904, Joseph Mockey? In favor? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Denise Thomas. I live at 20792 Will King Road. I live right beside Mr. Monty. I have no problem with it. He keeps a very neat property around here. So I have no problem.
All right, then.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Members? Charles Seaman, 37412 Liverpool Lane, Rehoboth Beach. I am familiar with Mr. Machi's operation. If you ever see the beautiful polished red trucks going up and down Route 1, those are his. Go by his property. You see the nice clean gravel on the yard? That's his. The buildings are all meticulous, well-maintained. Those are his. And that's how he runs his operation. It's very clean, I think that no one in phase two or three would ever have any opposition to their neighbors. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1904, Joseph Machi?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Step right up.
I have some documents to hand out to the commission.
Sure. Your name, sir?
May I get my glasses?
Sure. I'll find out in a minute. If you would be so kind as to give us your name for the record, please.
My name is Peter Blessinger. I'm a member of the board of directors of the Chapel Green Homeowners Association, Incorporated, 104 Ancient Oak Court, Lewis, Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I'll pretty much, my remarks will follow along the list of exhibits. And the exhibit number one that I have here is the site location map. And it's clearly within the general residential area. Chapel Green is just to the right side at the upper portion of this chart, and that's the homes within Chapel Green. Mm-hmm. The first three housing lines, as you see them there, are in the general residential zone. In Chapel Green, 46 of our homes are in that general residential zone. That's more than 20% of our membership. So I'm here in support of the zoning, general residential, and it should be for residences. And, of course, you're all familiar with what the wording of the zoning. The second exhibit is an aerial photograph taken March 23rd, 1992. And now to the right, you see the road layout of Chapel Green. That has since been developed, and there are numerous houses there. The sort of open field is near where the site is, but I'm not exactly sure where the boundaries are looking at this diagram. The third exhibit is the it's a diagram of it's the location survey, and it shows Wilking Road. And by the way, Wilking Road, the right-of-way is only 50 feet wide, so it's a relatively narrow road, and it's just been repaved by the state, that road. This particular diagram also shows that there are three entranceways onto this five and a quarter acre parcel. I don't know when those entranceways were developed or whether or not Department of Transportation approved those entranceways. The fourth image, the fourth exhibit, is an aerial image taken February 28th, 2007. Clearly shows the type of equipment that's on this particular northern part of the site, which is where the garage is. And you can see there's another building to the right there. It's a smaller shed. There appear to be trailers. If you look over on the top part of that to the north of the building, you'll see an equipment trailer. There may be some large dump trucks there also, and other types of excavating equipment. The next exhibit is Exhibit 5, and that's the satellite image dated July 3rd, 2010. That's just a little over a year ago, and you can see the amount of equipment that's stored in this location. And you can see the proximity of the houses in Chapel Green, just to the right side of Wilking Road. Now, the next Exhibit 6 is the Department of Traffic report that I believe Mr. Lank referred to. But the troublesome part here, which I want to bring to your attention, is that this assumes a development as a residential condominium townhouse. It does not assume that this conditional use is going to be for heavy equipment. So I don't know exactly what that means, but it somewhat troubles me. The Exhibit 7 is a printout from a internet telephone directory, and it indicates J.R. Machi Company, and it gives the address, telephone number, and it gives a description of what type of activity he's involved in. And also the hours of operation are listed from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Along that same line, Exhibit 8 is the most recent Yellow Pages, and it's also indicated there. It just indicates Route 288 Lewis. It doesn't give the house location.
And you're pointing this out to us because what's your I hate to be so blunt, but what's your point of telling us about the ads and the hours and all that? You think the hours are too long? You think they're too?
I think you may have one or two other people who will have remarks for you to indicate the type of activity that goes on in the early morning hours on that site. So that's specifically...
Meaning before 6 o'clock in the morning? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Exhibit 9 is just a record from the Division of Corporations indicating that Mr. Machi was incorporated, the company was incorporated July 13, 2000, and at the registered agent of services himself at the address on Wilking Road. The final exhibit is Exhibit 10, and it's the county tax records. Okay, the county tax records for this particular year, the owners are listed as for this parcel is Joseph and Teresa Machi. The billing address, however, is in a different location. It's at Ketch Court in Lewis.
And that has a bearing on this hearing how?
Well, the land use is listed as a farm with a home site.
Okay.
I don't think it's listed as a corporation or as a business or as a sort of a truck farm or a yard, a garage. So it's the type of use.
That's why he's here.
Excuse me?
That's why he's here.
To change his tax records?
To change the use. That's why we're having this hearing is because it's certainly logical that the tax records would reflect whatever the current zoning is and whatever activities might be occurring within that zoning classification. So he simply asked, that's why we're having this proceeding. He would like to change that, and I'm sure if he's approved, that information will be revised.
Okay, well, I just suggest to you that this activity is inappropriate in a residential one zone. So with that, if there's any questions, I'll certainly answer your questions if I can.
Okay, anyone? All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Hi, my name is William Gillingham. I live at 18 Emberwood Way, which is directly across the road from Mr. Machi's business.
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved there almost 9 years ago, this coming September, immediately I did not know he had the business there, okay? It didn't take me long to find it out, because his business essentially starts anywhere from 4:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning. And my bedroom butts practically up against his property, as per se, and I hear the slamming of the dump truck doors almost every morning, okay? Of which it would make common sense that when you come back from the job at the end of the day, you should do it at the end of the day instead of the next morning. He's been running a business there for almost, well, at least the 9 years I've been there almost.
12, I think he said.
Yeah, well, and to me, I thought the zoning would have had to have been changed for him to run a business there to start with. So he's been illegally running a business there. I watched him bring his trucks in there, loaded around with debris, of which he dumps there. And one time actually started a big fire there that he had there, okay? Comes in with loads of dirt, okay, and dumps that dirt on his property. The last week or so, he's been cleaning that property up like he's never cleaned it up before, okay? As you can probably tell, I'm not exactly happy with Mr. Machi, because I've had some other dealings with him that I can't bring up here, okay? But I really would not like to see this business continue here. That's all I have to say if you have any questions.
All right, sir. Anyone? Okay.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, mm-hmm. Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name's Tony Cellini. I live at 16 Amberwood Way. Mm-hmm. A lot of the reference made was to a parcel, a new community called Oakwood Village, which is right next door to Mr. Machi's business. Mm-hmm. We live in Chapel Green, which is across the street on Woking Road.
Right.
Our property's back up to Woking Road. Our bedrooms are in the back of the house. We're literally about 50 feet from his property line. There are trees that line that road that basically shed everything come wintertime. I can see his property. I can hear his property. There is no buffer at all. I have 20-foot Leland's in my backyard that I put up as a buffer, and it does no good. 5 a.m. every morning, there's truck noise. There's dogs barking. There's music playing. My wife sits out on the back of our porch and hears foul language from him and whoever may be standing over there. There's several different communities that surround his property. I'm sure all of them will lower their value of the properties. We bought there in 2003 as a peaceful, quiet residential community. That's not happening. On his information sheet, it says that his present use is a single family dwelling with accessory structures. He's running a business. It's not a single family. He used to live in the house that you see on that parcel, and he moved out for whatever reason, but he doesn't even want to live there. It says his proposed use is parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment. He does everything he can out of that facility. So it is an eyesore. It's definitely...
What other activities are taking place?
Well, it's just very loud at all times of the day, especially at 5 a.m. in the morning. I don't need to hear trucks banging, clanging, starting their engines, and pulling out on the roadway, because gravel is not a quiet access. I can hear that as well. So everything he does presents a problem as far as me having a quiet morning.
And I'm not asking you because I disagree with you. I'm just asking you to get it on the record.
Yeah.
If there is anything specific, we would like to know it.
Dogs barking constantly. He talks about a fence being around his property. He has a gate that's secure and locked, but I can walk beside the gate and enter his property. Mm-hmm. So he's got dogs there, but it's not secure, it's not enclosed.
Okay.
His business is definitely growing. It has been growing for 12 years, and he doesn't think there's anything wrong with that, but he's been running a business. Why all of a sudden now he wants to apply for a commercial parcel, I don't know. He's been getting away with it for 12 years. So that's all I have to say.
OK.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All right, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, there's a lady making her way, but you can be next, okay?
Hi, my name is Gloria Leary, and I live at 20 Amberwood Way, which is directly behind Mr. Machi's property. I don't know what kind of excavation that you think that's going on, but they are very large dump trucks. They're not small. And he also hooks a trailer to the back of the dump trucks and hauls front end loaders along with that. Going along with those who were saying that he does no longer live here, I have a picture for you to share. This is where he has moved to.
Ma'am, that's not really a subject of this hearing.
But it's just to show you that he moved out into a nice quiet area while leaving us with the noise of his vehicles and such. And as they say, the dog does bark anywhere from 11:30 to 2 o'clock in the morning. My living room backs up to that property, so I hear him because I watch late-night television. We have not complained prior to this because we also assumed that his business was legitimate since he was there long before we were.
I see.
Which I understand that too, and the man is making a living, not trying to stop that. But if he could be mindful of the neighbors and possibly have limitations of starting times and ending times. I've also seen boats come out of there, motorcycles come out of there. Whether they're his employees, I don't know, but they come out of there at high rates of speed. They're not, you know, just coming out to exit onto the road. And as it was also pointed out, we just didn't wreck our tax dollars, just repaved that road. I can't imagine that large and heavy equipment is any good on that. Also,
okay.
After spending that amount of money. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, actually, yeah. Lady in the blue, and then we'll get to you in a second. Okay, your turn.
Good evening. My name is Ann Conlon, and I'm a member of the Chapel Green Homeowner Association Board of Directors, Incorporated, 104 Ancient Oak Court. Chapel Green. I would just like to remind the commissioners that the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan frowns on intensive auto-related uses when the site is in a low-density area. You'll see the site plan specifically says this site is in a low-density area. It says commercial uses such as auto repair should be avoided there. Now, in my opinion, parking, storing, and maintaining large commercial trucks and heavy earth-moving equipment is what I call an intensive auto-related use. And therefore, I'm urging all of you to deny granting a conditional use for this property. Truck farms and heavy-duty equipment storage just don't seem to belong in residential areas like this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ma'am, did you want to speak? Come on, you've been waiting patiently. He'll wait. You come on up, ma'am. Yes, you. Incidentally, we've heard the phrase a couple of times this evening, truck farm. I thought that was vegetables. Apparently, it's actually trucks.
It's hard to germinate trucks, Mr. Chairman. They don't germinate well. They rust and rot pretty well. They don't germinate well. I assume they're talking vegetables.
So now you're making fun of us?
No, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just
trying
to... I'm
Victoria Gillingham. I live at 18 Amberwood Way, less than 80 feet away from Mr. Machi's business. I think our main concern is the fact that he has been illegally using that parcel of property without proper permits, without any regard to his neighbors. Even if you would put restrictions on him for use of that property, we think there's a good chance that he may not adhere to any of the conditions you put down, especially when he's been illegally using it for 12 years. The machines, some of the machines he uses that he needs to put on a trailer to back out of his business area, blocks the entire road. I just hear him gasp. I guess he doesn't believe me because I've seen it. It blocks the entire road. Dogs does bark. There for a while, he did not even keep it pent up very well. It used to be in our neighborhood all the time. His employees will gather after work, turn the volume up as loud as they can on occasion, party, foul mouth, like I do not want to hear my grandkids say, you know, here. I have a sleep problem, and when I finally fall asleep, I don't like being waken up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. He has absolutely no regard to his neighbors across the street. So there is a, we're afraid of what he's going to do if you give him rights to legally put his business there, because he has not been abiding by the law as it is. And I guess that raises a lot of other flags, but I don't think that's an area that this commission can take care of.
Could I get your name again? I'm sorry.
Victoria Gillingham.
Ma'am, we weren't making fun of you. At Sussex County, truck farms are generally noted as vegetable operations. It's kind of a generic terminology.
I'm a granddaughter of a farmer, so I know what a truck farm is. It sounds like you were alluding that we were little hicks or whatever and using, you know,
generally
the term.
No, ma'am, I think we're the hicks.
We fall into that category.
I mean, I know what a truck farm is.
Well, I just never used it. I heard it used in that context before. That was my only
point. I think the reason some of the neighborhoods use that because his fleet keeps on growing and getting bigger. He has a backhoe that's
okay,
bigger.
Ladies and gentlemen, quiet, please, while the lady's speaking.
Yeah. Well, his fleet keeps on growing and getting bigger and making more noise.
Got it. Thank you. All right, sir, you've been waiting patiently. Come on up.
I just wasn't sure how many more speakers there were. Excuse me.
Would you want to be last?
Yes. My name is J. Robert Woods, and I've lived in Chapel Green for 9.5 years. You've heard the previous speakers opposed to this application, and their concerns mostly involving, I would say, excessive noise in early morning hours and maybe just general concern for disruption in the neighborhood. I purchased my home in this GR zoning, as of course everyone else here is resident that's supporting this opposition, as did the applicant. And only he chose to illegally start a business along with living on the property at the time. Now, a few years ago, I'm not sure which ones of you were still on the P&Z committee at that time, Mr. Machi sold off some of his land for single-family development, which I would say the community had no problems with. In fact, I spoke here, right here at that time, and I stated, I think it was Mr. Fuquay who represented him at the time, that it was a really great-looking plan. And my only concern from living right across the street was simply I wanted to make sure appeal to this committee to give the maximum amount of buffering, because noise, again, was the main concern at that time. So for me, I don't hear a lot exactly where I'm at. Fortunately, I'm on the other side of Amberwood Way. My bedroom faces away from the property in question. But what bothers me the most, I guess, is simply I thought the applicant still lived there. He no longer lives on the site. And that gives me concern about noise. I mean, I would assume while you're living there, you're going to keep noise down to a minimum. I believe Mr. Machi has children as well. So the mere fact that he no longer lives there leads me to be concerned about whether this is going to increase the amount of activity ergo also the noise that goes along with that as well. So, you know, I think if he was still living there, my concerns would be a little more less concerning, it'd be alleviated. Mm-hmm. But for all those reasons, as the other speakers have said, I just feel that the general residential zone should be maintained, and I would like to see it denied as conditional use. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. If you're in opposition and you'd like to speak, you come on. Oh, wait a minute. Have you already been yes. up here once?
Yes.
Yeah, one trip to a customer. I'm sorry. But
he's Thomas.
That's right. One trip to a customer. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Now, before we close the public hearing, I want to thank you for being here. When we close the public hearing, you're probably going to want to all get up and start talking. But we've got another public hearing that's going to be right after this. So what I would like you to do, since you have been very well behaved, and we appreciate it, but when we adjourn the public hearing, if you are going to leave, please get up and leave, and then do your talking out in the lobby so we can continue with our meeting. That being said, yes, sir.
Chairman, I do have a couple questions for the applicant, if I might.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I addressed those earlier in my questions or in his comments. So if he'd come forward.
All right. If the applicant come forward, please.
Yes, sir.
I just want to clarify for the record about your hours of operation. That's been a subject of a number of the concerns that have been expressed here this evening. So would you share with us what your intended hours of operations are?
Well, with all due respect, sir, in fact, all of yous, all due respect, it must be the TV keeping these people up, in all honesty.
That's not my question. No,
my hours of operation, sir.
Sir, I'm not asking you to respond to them. I'm asking you a question.
My hours of operation.
Your hours of operation.
My hours of operation are fact. Most of the developments I work in are your high-end developments, Rehoboth Country Club, the town of Lewis, Bethany Beach, Rehoboth Beach. I work in all the high-end developments, and as we all know, they all have their own HOA rules. I cannot start a machine up before 8 o'clock. So if I'm leaving my yard in Lewis at 4:30, it's irrational. I leave my yard 7:30, maybe 20 to 8. I get there at 7, 7:15. There's never any loud music playing. There's never any parties. I'm 50 years old. I have a Harley-Davidson, and I ride it very cautiously. There's no way I could work any hours unless it's a snow emergency, and then I'm on call. If I go out at 4 in the morning in a snow emergency, that may be the only exception that any piece of equipment. I have one demolition dump trailer for when I do clears or demolition. I have one triaxle dump truck for when I haul stone or my own fill dirt or move material on site. And I have one service truck that goes out to service these and carries my tools. And I'm one employee, and I have limited hours that I can work within the towns. So my intention at night, I'm home with my family, and my alarm goes off at 6 a.m. in the morning, gentlemen. And that's fact. I mean, I don't know how else to dispute what was thrown at me here tonight. I like to go back to the truck
farm. I'm not asking you to dispute,
because
that's against our rules. We're not going to get into he said, she said.
Mind-boggling.
So you're telling me your hours of operation begin at what time, sir?
I would get in that yard, I unlock at roughly 7 o'clock, and a piece of equipment doesn't start up or pull out until at least 7:20, 7:30, the latest 7:40.
One of the things you need to understand with a conditional use is that there's a number of conditions that we can place on your property. So I'm asking you specifically, what hours of operation?
Back in the latest 5 o'clock, 5:30. Maybe 5:45 if I'm working down in Millsboro or somewhere around there.
So you're saying, with exception of emergencies, snow emergencies or whatever,
yes, sir.
Your hours of operation are going to be from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
In that ballpark, yes. Yes, you're right. And I would say daylight hours easily, not past 6 o'clock at night. There was a reference made to debris coming back to my yard and being dumped.
No, I'm not asking for you.
I'm just saying, when the truck comes in.
I don't want this counterpoint stuff.
But I'm bringing it back to my limited hours.
If you would confine your answers to my questions,
I'll be much happier.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're not going to get into, you know, you're countering anything that's said here tonight. So your hours of operation that you're applying for are going to be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yes.
Is that correct?
In that ballpark.
Well, no, it's not going to be in that ballpark. If,
okay, what if, I'm if saying is hours if, of I have to be at, if I have to be at a quarry in Millsboro, sir, at 7 o'clock, I may start to truck up at 6:45 and be down there at 6:45. I'm within a half hour of those hours, not 8 o'clock, not 7 o'clock, not 6:30, and certainly not 5, 4, or even 6 o'clock in the morning. There's no way I can function. I can't work anywhere. What I was saying before was if I take a load back to my yard that's going to a stump processing when I do a clear, they don't open until 7:30, 8 o'clock the next morning. I bring it back to my yard. I pull out at 7:15, and I'm dumping in Georgeboro, Georgetown, Redden State Forest by 7:30, 7:45 when they open up. So, again, the hours of the people that I deal with and the developments and the communities that I work in delegate the hours of my operation. My hands are tied. In fact, going back 9-10 years ago, I cleared every lot in Chapel Green, every lot in the wooded side, the original side, long before any of the houses were across the street from me.
Well, thank you for the history. Now, my second question is, how many employees do you anticipate having?
Zero.
No other employees besides yourself?
I work these days to have something to do.
You said a few minutes ago, not to interrupt, but you said a few minutes ago you had one employee.
That's what I heard, too.
I don't have any employees. I use subcontractors, and they do not come to my yard.
How many people are coming to your yard on a consistent basis to perform some type of work?
Zero, Mr. Wheatley. And at any given time, during the hours that I just described to Mr. Johnson, you can ride by there, and there are not employees' cars in the yard. The only cars on the property are registered to me.
I just want to make sure that you're not that we're not splitting hairs, differentiating between employees and independent contractors. You know,
no.
I'm just trying to establish that how many people come there to work, and you answered that.
Zero.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Good. Anything else?
I've had enough history, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Machi. Appreciate you coming back up. One trip to a customer, sir. I'm sorry. Okay. Ma'am, if you... See what you did.
Mm-hmm. It's all my fault.
Oh, it's fine. Go right ahead, ma'am. Your name is?
Probably already have an aerial shot. My name is Mary Salini, and I do live directly behind the business of operation. My main concern is I bought into an association, a community, with an association to maintain my value of my community.
Okay.
And I feel like this 4 acres at any point could be expanded to a large operation, even the small operation. If I put my house up for sale, I'm going to lose value because they're going to see that trucks are going in and out. I've been in the backyard of my own home, and I don't know if they're working on the trucks or what, but those trucks will run like a trash truck, the noise of a trash truck, with a large motor for hours. I don't know if they're working on them. But I just get frustrated sitting on my porch and just go in. So I'm losing value on my property when I bought into an association. So I would ask that this not be approved for that reason.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah. All right, then. We thank you for being here. We'll close the public hearing. You're welcome to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And I thank you for your cooperation.